Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are still virtual. We're not quite back in our home inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're hoping that day's going to come soon. But folks, a shout out to Renaissance, because if you are tired of the mega bank experience, if you're tired of 1-800 numbers, if you're tired of talking to a computer generated voice, well, my suggestion is, and I make this suggestion because I've had people work with Renaissance, so I know this personally, is that if you will go to renaissancebank.com, find the local office near you, give them a call, they'll answer the phone like a real person will, and they'll be happy to take your appointment and go in, talk to them about what your needs are, and see if they can help you. I mean, they're a bank that's small enough to care, big enough to offer a lot of different services that help small business. And they did a marvelous job with all the disaster recovery loans earlier this year. So check them out. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now a guy I've been looking forward to for some time, because he represents another organization that really folks need to check out. And that's Paul Wilson. And Paul is the area director of the Small Business Development Center at Georgia State University. Paul, welcome.
It's good to be here, John. I've been hearing a lot about you and your show for a while, so glad I finally made it.
folks need to know. Let's just say this right off the top here. I mean, you've got your own show on Business Radio X. Yes. In our Sandy Springs studio. So let's shout that out real quick before we get into your day job, shall we say?
Sure. So Small Business Fuel, and we broadcast about once a month, but our goal is to highlight the different small business resources that are available for entrepreneurs in the metro Atlanta area.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But you're doing some great work, and let's talk about SBDC, the organization, what it's all about, the resources that you offer small business.
Absolutely. And so again, that joke, but it is a pleasure to be here. And
thank you.
And talk about the SBDC. So we're, as we're talking offline, probably one of the best kept secrets in this state. We've been around for over 40 years. And with the primary focus of really helping and serving small businesses so we can really boost the economy. Sometimes people confuse it with the SBA. Right, Small Business Administration, but we are a resource partner of theirs, and they're actually our federal funder, if you will, in addition to the University System of Georgia. And the whole point of that funding is so we can work one-on-one with small businesses to provide consulting services at no cost to those businesses, and that's no cost for life. So you'll never get an invoice from us. And when I say consulting, that again runs the gamut, right, from those who have never started a business and need help with writing a business plan and doing a budgeting process and financial projections with your profit and loss statement or cash flow statement, right? In market research, which can be very challenging, right? If you've never done that before, to really understand okay, who your target market is and how do you find clients and all that. So we do that stuff for, again, businesses that are just getting started. And sometimes people only think we do that. But we also help, growing business and what we call professionally managed businesses that, may have several hundred employees and, several $1 million in revenues. As a matter of fact, the largest small business we can work with may have 500 employees and up to $30 million in revenues. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and that's the SBA's definition of a small business, believe it or not. And so we have the authorization to work with businesses across the spectrum and across several industries. We serve the entire state of Georgia. We have 18 locations around the state and 50 or so consultants. So this is also our full-time job. We're not volunteers. We're full-time paid to do this. And so, again, it's our kind of privilege, and we kind of have fun having a chance to work with entrepreneurs of all sizes and all types and all industries to really, again, help them grow and help them not just sustain our economy, but right, it also sustains, you know, their families and their individual communities also.
You know, Paul, part of my day job is helping folks with pricing. And one of the things I tell people is, you know, if it's free, that sends a signal of of low quality sometimes, right. You know, and that's psychological. And so sure. I think sometimes people hear free and they don't understand the depth of programs, resources, training, and then the quality of your people and their backgrounds and what they bring to the table.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And I'll even, you know, initially start off just talking about the impact, and then I'll talk about how we get there. Because every year we actually have to report the work that we do to the federal government so they can continue to fund the work that we do, and it's validated by an external third party. So over a 5-year period of time, we've helped over almost 1,500 businesses get started, helped create almost 14,000 jobs during that time, helped those companies raise about $885 million in capital. Mm. And those companies that we've worked with, I think it's about $9.5 billion in revenues. So that just lets you know the impact that we have, that it's not, you know, we're not, we take it very seriously, but also we're held accountable. And I think that's one of the key things, the accountability piece. But in terms of then the quality of the people, up until actually very recently, you were required to actually have an MBA to work as a business consultant. And just because of really the tight job market, we lessened that a little bit just because it was hard to find really good people. You know what I mean, from that standpoint. But again, 50 or so consultants in the state that cover all industries from, you know, marketing to manufacturing to farming, you know, people even with technology backgrounds. And so it's a very diverse group of individuals. Again, and many of them have been either former business owners or current business owners. Many of them came out of corporate. I myself spent some time in corporate and owned a business. So we have very, you know, varying experiences as well as skill sets that really kind of cover a wide range of services and resources. And so yes, sometimes when you're associated with a government entity, if you will, or a university, it can seem like, you know, you're going to get kind of the run of the mill or not get really the help that you need. But we absolutely enjoy what we do. But also, again, as demonstrated by the numbers, we're effective at it. You know, in terms of helping businesses from all stages kind of either launch or grow their existing business.
Yeah, and I think there's a perception among folks that know SBDC is that it's for startup businesses only.
Right.
Right. And that there's not an effort there or a capability there, maybe, I don't know, around existing businesses that have just run into a roadblock somewhere and they need help.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, you know, important for people to know. I'll say our time is price split 50-50 with businesses who are in that early stage. And then the other 50 is with, again, established businesses. And because a lot of our metrics actually are really driven by those established businesses, you know, that we're actually given by the SBA that we have to meet. So we spend a lot of time and also with those businesses, helping them kind of pinpoint specific issues. So it may be HR related, right? It may be hiring related. It may be, of course, the financial side, either analyzing those finances or helping those businesses, you know, do what needs to be done to go acquire a loan. You know, it may be potentially even if it's manufacturing or process related, where we're helping them, it would help them get in and really understand how to be more efficient, you know, with their business. Digital marketing. We do a lot in the area of marketing overall, but also specifically digital marketing, helping develop strategies, right, to help companies be more effective at acquiring customers. So, so if it's a larger business, we get much more specific and kind of pinpointed to see what those pain points are and then help develop very specific solutions. And the great thing about us is that because even going back to the no-cost piece, since the financial pressure isn't there, we're not trying to extract something from that business so then we can get our check and then leave. Right.
Right.
That kind of no cost piece, which really, like, we kind of joke. I kind of say it's actually prepaid. It's your tax dollars at work. This is what it is. But it's a great return on your investment, right? Because how often do you go back, be able to go back to the government and get something for, you know, for what we all invest, and then have a tangible result? I know we get a lot of tangible results, but for your business, you know, you definitely have that opportunity. And then we stay with you. Is the other point I was getting back to. We stay with you. So not just one or two meetings. There are people who've been connected with the SBDC, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, literally, and they'll just come back for the next thing that they need help with. So then now they're going to acquire another business. We can help you with that process. They're going to, you know, buy, you know, maybe another location, right, to kind of expand from, you know, you're a restaurant owner and you have three locations. Now you're ready to buy a fourth, right? So there's so many different ways that we can help you. And it's really flexible. So depending on your business need, it's kind of how we adjust to what you need. And some clients I meet with once a month, others once a quarter, others once a year. It just all depends on, you know, what the client is needing at that point in time.
One of the reasons why we wanted to do this show right here, right now at this time is, you know, for those of our listeners that are in the North Fulton area, you know, there are a lot of those folks that might have been laid off from corporate, heavy concentration of corporate employees in North Fulton. And right. And some of those, unfortunately, have been laid off. And there's a lot of folks that are looking to start a business, you know, instead of staying in corporate. Talk a little bit about, I guess, the counsel you, beyond just getting in touch with SBDC, your office, what kind of advice would you give those folks as they look to whether they should start a business, buy a business, get a franchise, all the different options, and then some of the mistakes that you see made that could be avoided with pre-planning?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. One of the things that I would say off the bat, right, is to really look at, right, what you already possessed, right, in terms of knowledge, skill set, your resources, your network, and really kind of analyze and evaluate, is it the right time for me to pursue something on the business side? Or, do I need to go look for another job? Because it could be that, you know, certain companies are hiring. Because it's interesting that whenever you have these difficult economic situations, you actually have some businesses that are thriving because they're able to, let's say, leverage the environment, right? There's a chemical company I'm familiar with that came to us and said they actually had one of their best years ever, but they happen to be, you know, they happen to sell barrels of alcohol. Right. So in that case, we're in the perfect place at the perfect time. But of course, we know that's not everybody's situation.
Right.
So analyzing, right, do I have skill sets? Like if you're a healthcare worker right now, you have healthcare skills, right? There could be certain things or certain niches of the market where you actually could be doing very well, right? Or take advantage of an opportunity versus somebody else to say that's completely disconnected from really what's in demand right now. So I think that's kind of one of the things to say. Let me just kind of take a personal inventory, you know, to say, okay, whether or not I have something that's actually in demand right now, or is it something on the decline? And that's really done from a personal standpoint, but also if you put that kind of in a business context too, am I interested in pursuing a business that is just not growing right now? It's flat. So one of the things that we have access to, which is, I think, one of the most effective things that we can do for clients is market research. We have a lot of different types of databases. Some of it is national data that can show, let's say, trends of specific industries, what's happened over the last 5 years and what's projected to happen over the next 5 years, right? So you come to us with an idea and say, hey, you know, I want to, you know, sell shoes. Okay, great. Let's see what's happened across the industry. And if there's a certain type of thing you want to sell, right, with the shoes or anything, right? We can say, you know, that industry has actually been declining over the last 5 years. Is that really what you want to do right now from that standpoint? And so that's some of the information that you can get, again, for free without having only invest a little bit of time, without investing a whole lot of money yet, right, to do something that may be on a decline. But we have other additional information, not just national, that's very localized. So we can go to almost any address in the country and find demographic information, find customer behavior information, You know, find other trend information, find, you know, who are the other types of businesses that may be your competitors, right? If you're trying to start a, say a shoe store, I guess I'm on shoes right now, a shoe store, we can put an address where we think that shoe store is going to be. And if we tell you that, you know, there's actually 20 other shoe stores within a 5-mile radius of where you want to put that, that may not be where you want to put it. Now, hey, maybe we find another place that has no shoe stores, right? So, but that's the type of analysis that a lot of people skip. And going to your question about the mistake, that's where a lot of people skip that research step, because it's not fun. It's not interesting, right? If you watch, listen to social media, you know, makes you think entrepreneurship is easy, right? Just be passionate about something, about your skill set, and just take a risk, right?
That's right. That's right. Follow your passion, right?
Yeah. Right. Just follow your passion. That's all you need to be successful.
That's right.
But we know that's not true. So they missed a step in there. One of the key steps, market research, right?
Right.
That's just, anybody wants what you're selling, other than, you know, your spouse or your mom, right?
Right.
And just find out where's your market at, and we can help you to do that. And to me, that's some of the best steps you can take. Again, whether you're thinking about going into entrepreneurship, or even if you're already in business and you're trying to figure out what to do next, to me, I think that market research piece is often skipped, because again, it's not fun, it's not sexy, if you will, but it's one of the most important things you can do before really moving forward with your business.
Folks, we're here speaking with Paul Wilson, and Paul is the area director for the SBDC at Georgia State University. Paul, that's, you know, what you're talking about, I think some people would say that's a business plan. That's what I hear Paul talking about. And whatever you call it, it's really not so much about writing some novel that you think is going to be your version of reality, but it's really a framework around doing your homework, right? Just so you're prepared for when the reality hits, you're prepared because you've done your homework, right?
Definitely. And that's a great way to frame it. You know, business plan is not required to start a business, right? But highly recommended and highly suggested. And homework, I think, is the best, is a great word, although it's a dirty word, but it's a great word, right?
Right.
But also, right, you get all your thoughts and your ideas, you get it in one place, you get it organized, right? So I talk about the market research on one side of it is, okay, let's learn as much as we can about the market related to that idea, right? And kind of get it in one place. The other side of it is the financial side, right? Let's look and see what, you know, a financial model for this business is. And from a, you know, logical standpoint, that now the market research feeds the financials. And what a lot of people do, and I did it too, right? When I was starting a business, hey, what do you want to do when you start a business? Make $1 million, right?
Right.
For your first sales line, right? Revenue line on that first year of business, because nobody has ever had this idea before. Nobody's ever going to do it like I'm going to do it, right? And everybody's going to love it. $1 million, first year in revenues. And then, you know, and that's just not realistic, right? From that standpoint. So even, you know, understanding, okay, so even if it was $1 million, how many customers do I need to get $100 million? And to your point, right, you help teach people about pricing. Well, okay, well now let's do some math. Okay, now we got to do some work, right? Now we got to divide that $1 million by the price that it needs to be. Now how many customers I need to have? Well, okay, if I have to have X number of customers, I really then got to call X times 10, right? Or reach out to X times 10 people to get that X customer, right? So, but again, those are the things that, like I said, in a business plan, again, like to your point, it doesn't have to be a 50-page dissertation. We tell people, it doesn't matter how long it is. You just want the right information in there that can then help inform your decision-making, you know what I mean, from that point.
Paul, talk a little bit about the psychology of owning a business, starting a business, and running a business. You know, there's some key aspects to that, particularly for folks that come out of corporate, that maybe aren't used to that, that are really important and that go beyond just numbers.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting. When I teach a starting business or writing a business plan class for the SBDC, one of the things that I say, and I probably need to go back and check my own facts, but I think this is probably true. If you go to Amazon right now and look at all the books on business and entrepreneurship, your question probably speaks to the probably the least talked about aspect of entrepreneurship, right? Mm. The psychological effect. It may show up in a chapter of a book, right? But rarely you're going to see a whole book written about it, right? And it's definitely not going to be at the top of the list. There are other lists going to be about passion and technology and your ideas. Much less talked about is the psychology piece, and which I think is also important right now for people who say, well, wow, it's finally time for me to start that business. I may have gotten laid off or something else. Let me just go do this. I've been wanting to do this for a while. A couple things that I would say, if I could just throw out just a couple of words. So resiliency, I think, is right at the top of the list. It's the willingness to be told no 1,000 times potentially before you get that first yes, right? It's the willingness to change your idea if it's not working. One of my favorite quotes, actually by a leader who was in that North Fulton area, Andy Stanley, he says, be stubborn with your vision. Actually, a book he wrote several years ago, be stubborn with your vision, but be flexible with your plan. Mm. Right? Oftentimes, many entrepreneurs jump out with a vision, which is great, but there may be a winding road to get there. Very rarely is going to be a straight line. So are you flexible enough to pay attention to what's happening in the market? Pay attention to an idea that just didn't work. Let me go back to the drawing board, right? Being willing to make those adjustments along the way to get to a destination that you're not just trying to prove a point that I could get there, but okay, I'm willing to experience whatever needs to be experienced. How do you deal with failure? Right. And being willing to learn from that failure versus being completely, kind of wiped out by that failure and by the disappointment of failure, but using that failure more as motivation, right? Some of the psychological aspects. And in some cases, it's almost stuff that they say you can't really, it's not taught, but it's caught, if you will, that I can tell you about how to be resilient, right? That's kind of tell you about how to work out. Until you go work out, doesn't matter how much I tell you, I can teach you how to do it. But you don't get the muscle growth right until you actually go work out. And that's kind of the same thing with entrepreneurship. And I think people are wired differently because some people are born to be entrepreneurs. And I agree, some people are just born to be, let's say, willing to take more risks, right? Seem to be a little bit more resilient and more naturally kind of maybe fit that role. But I think you can learn some of those skill sets. And maybe depending on some people's corporate journey, they might have learned some of those skill sets, along the way to take them. And the last thing I'll say for right now to this, that point is also, you got to think about too, from a corporate perspective, you had so many other people there, even if you didn't know who they were doing their jobs to help you do your job. Mm. Right? So you may have been in one department, but so many other departments were supporting your department supporting theirs. It could be several dozen or several thousands of people. You had no clue who they were, but they were doing their job that was helping you do yours. As an entrepreneur, especially if you're starting by yourself, you are those 1,000 people, right?
Right.
People all in one. Your name is in all the org chart boxes, right?
Yeah.
Standpoint, not just the CEO. You don't just be the CEO, right? You get to be the janitor too, right? And your business owner and everything in between. And being willing to understand, right? I may have to play all those roles, but then I think also growing out of that to say, okay, well, let me again identify what am I the best at, and if whatever my strengths are, I need to find somebody else that also what their strength complements them my weakness. As I begin to expand my team and grow my team, so I can now complement right what I do well and what I don't do well, so I can now build my infrastructure, be able to grow, to the future, but with bringing the right people on board, in that process.
Now, Paul, before we came on the air, we were talking a little bit about this whole notion, which I agree with, that SBDC is one of the best kept secrets around for small business owners and managers. One of the things that I wonder is, and we're now talking to business owners that have run into a roadblock that, that really need help, that the pandemic's turned them upside down in some way. They're trying to recover. There's a little bit of maybe shyness, right, about coming forward and saying, I need help, right? Right. That's what you're there for. You see this every day. So, yes. Right. So talk a little bit about that.
Right. And the first thing I'll say about that is confidentiality. So we have a confidentiality document that we don't report your information to anybody. We don't share with any outside organization, including the SBA. So although we're funded by them, we don't share your information anywhere. Right. Without your written permission. If you want us to talk to a bank or something like that, we still, even for that, we get your written permission to do that. So hopefully, again, that'll lessen some of the anxiety that somebody may have of coming to talk with us. And oftentimes as a business owner, it can be a very lonely journey, right? Because many people, again, if they haven't been an entrepreneur or not entrepreneurs, don't understand the struggles and the challenges that are being had. And fortunately, I think for us, there's a level of empathy, right, that we have, you know, for the business owner, because, again, we live and breathe it on our side of the fence, if you will, every day. But again, we're meeting with business owners and we're helping to talk through the situation. And sometimes it just helps to talk to somebody else, right, to get that idea or thought out of your head or run something by somebody. So, again, it can be very simple as being a sounding board, right, and bouncing some ideas off. As well as on the other side of it, doing some very, let's say, in-depth analysis and a strategic plan and, you know, walking through a very structured process. And so, again, that's some of the flexibility that we're able to bring to the table, depending on, again, just where that business owner is. And also, again, how willing the business owner is to share their information. Of course, the more you share with us, the more we can help. But even if you share a little bit with us, you know, we're going to try to do as much as we can, right, with how much you're willing to engage. And again, because our end goal, and I think that's, you know, I'll go back to the financial piece, the fact that we don't have that kind of dollar hanging over our heads, our whole motivation really goal is help you as a business owner grow, right? So that kind of removes some of that barrier, you know what I mean, from that standpoint that again, we're assessed and evaluated by business growth. So whatever we're going to tell you, whatever we're sharing with you, whatever resource we're providing to you, we know our evaluation on the backside of that is, you know, at some point in the future, you're going to be able to say, I added 3 or 4 more employees or our revenues increased by X percent or whatever that is. So, and with that, right, we want to be very practical. You know, we don't want to, you know, kind of tell you things that we heard in a book somewhere that, again, everything we're telling you, I'm not saying it's going to work automatically, but our goal is say whatever we're sharing with you, hopefully you can go implement it that day. Right. And eventually get some benefit out of that. So again, we take a little bit of a different approach, you know, than maybe a other type of consultant, you know, may take as it relates to that. But our motivation is different, you know, from that standpoint. And again, our clients are our goal to see them grow, because we're not successful if they're not growing and expanding and starting businesses. And so even in these tough times, you know, we're and again, so even for us, we've had to adjust, because typically everything we did was face to face. So we've had to say, how do we still serve clients effectively and be able to engage them? So we again, everybody's on Zoom now, but we had to do the same thing. Before this year, we did pretty much 0 webinars, or I could probably, it's probably less than 5 across the state over the years that we've done webinars. We had to turn on a dime, and now everything we do now is even our trainers webinars, and even to the point that for the rest of this year, I'll give this little plug, all webinars that we're offering from a training standpoint across the state will be free for the rest of the year until December 31st. So almost any topic or subject. So even if you're concerned about, okay, maybe I don't want to meet with somebody one-on-one, well, go online, and I'll get that information later. Go online, check out a webinar, right? Learn about that topic, about accounting or credit or digital marketing, whatever it might be. Because again, there's several webinars that are being offered every single week. And again, you still have a couple of months to actually take advantage of that. And if hopefully that or nothing else spark an idea or a motivation to come see us, or maybe you get what you need from that webinar and you'll be fine after that.
And, you know, if I get over my shyness and decide to call and have a one-on-one session with a SBDC consultant, talk about how that goes. I mean, what happens?
Sure. Absolutely. So usually in that first meeting, and we call it a discovery meeting. So we're just trying to ask a lot of questions and get as much insider information as possible. Because oftentimes what happens too in that process that, you know, a business owner will come with, you know, one issue, but the more we ask questions, kind of dig a little bit deeper. We kind of find out, okay, well, that's kind of the that's not the root cause. That's what you're experiencing. But there's actually some other areas that's a little bit more the root cause. And so then it kind of leads us to say, OK, well, we know that's an issue. But actually, if we work on this other thing, it's going to impact 3 or 4 things, including the thing that you initially wanted to talk to us about. So that initial discovery session usually lasts, let's say, 45 minutes to an hour in that conversation. Again, we're asking questions and just trying to get as much information as possible. And then typically coming out of that meeting, we're going to make some immediate recommendations, some next steps that that business owner can take. But then also typically it's homework time, right? And we may give that business owner homework, but also we may have some homework too, where we're going to go back and research some information or look up some things or make our own phone calls. And so that really begins the cycle of consulting. And again, from there, depending on how urgent the issue is, you know, it may be once a week, once every couple of weeks. If it's not a super urgent issue, you know, it may be once a month. And so we'll say, okay, here's what you're going to do and here's what I'm going to do. And we'll, let's meet again in a month and kind of see where we are. So, so that first discovery meeting kind of really sets the tone and the pace for what needs to happen, you know, after that.
Folks, we're chatting with Paul Wilson, and he is the area director for, I guess it's the UGA SBDC at GSU, which is a whole big mouth of initials there.
Right. But I'll get beat up if I don't say. You cannot say it, but I can't not say it.
Yeah, right. But it's part of the University of Georgia system, which UGA is, or which Georgia State's part of. And it's a big umbrella that covers the entire state with your organization. Paul, this has been great. And, I would just, you know, if I can, personal privilege, encourage people, because I've known, you and some of your consultants, y'all do great work. And,
thank you.
Yeah. And people really need to seriously not just think about it. They need to pick up the phone and call, or take a webinar and just taste it, get a little taste. And I think what you'll find is there's a lot of great information and a lot of great wealth of experience that's at the table when you decide you're going to go pick up the phone and take advantage of that. So with that, a little editorial there, let's give folks, give them that way to connect. How can they be in touch with you?
Absolutely. So the easiest way, again, just to get the statewide office is Georgia, and just spell Georgia out, sbdc.org. So for Small Business Development Center. So Georgia, sbdc.org. If you're looking for our office specifically, again, if you're in Fulton and want to connect with the Georgia State, the same thing, Georgia, sbdc.org/Atlanta. But also, if you get to the website, just you'll get to the website. You can find locations. You can see every location in the state, as well as I mentioned their training earlier. So there's a training tab, and you can actually see all the classes in one location that are happening across, again, the entire state. And then you can, of course, segment it once you get there by location or by topic from that standpoint.
Awesome work. Paul Wilson with the Georgia SBDC Center at GSU. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your work.
Absolutely. No, it's my pleasure. And again, we look forward to serving small businesses, and hopefully I'll make it back to your show at one point in time. And I definitely got to have you on our show too, from that standpoint.
I look forward to that. Absolutely. Folks, just a quick reminder, if you've been talking to one of your SBDC consultants and they tell you, you know, you need to focus on your strengths and outsource your weaknesses, well, I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Now, what she offers are angels that will fly in and get work done, like administrative tasks that you don't need to be spending time on, your bookkeeping, and other needs that small businesses have, that where you can focus on your business, where you're strong, and they focus on the areas that you're weak. And they do this work on an ongoing or as needed basis. And they've been virtual for 20 years. So they know how to work that way. So what you need to do is go to officeangels.us and check them out. Or better yet, just call Essie Escobedo directly. Tell her I sent you. And I use their services, so I know what I'm talking about. They do a great job. Just call her, 770-442-9246. And before we wrap up, folks, just another reminder that you can find this show on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. And you can go to find our show archive at northfultonbusinessradio.com. We encourage you to share the show. Give us a review. Give us a good review, please. And because that helps people find the show. It's not about me. It's about our guests that come on here and give great information. They're doing great work, business leaders like Paul. So we'd appreciate it if you'd do that. And also connect with us on social media. So LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, we're North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Paul Wilson, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.